Hello from Hollywood. It's Rebecca here, coming to you live from Box Top Studios, where all the hip kids come together and share their most intimate secrets. Welcome back to Hollywood Spotlight on RealHollywood.com. Joining me in the studio tonight are my producer Mike, my screener Glenda, and our fabulous typist Michelle. All right, if you're a newbie tonight, welcome to the show. If you'd like to ask a question, there's a question mark icon on the menu bar you can click on, or just type /ask, and then type in your question. We'd like to give a warm shout-out to all the Excite users joining us tonight. If you're using Excite's VP chat, you can ask a question by clicking on the Something to Say button on the lower right corner of the stage. I'm really excited about the show. We have a very special guest joining us in the studio tonight, Dee Dee Pfeiffer, star of NBC's new romantic comedy, For Your Love. You may also recognize Dee Dee from her role in Sybil as Sybil Sheridan's eldest daughter. Let's all welcome Dee Dee to the show. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, Rebecca.
How are ya?
I'm doing great.
Oh, good. So glad to hear it.
Yeah.
We're so excited to have you on the show.
This is really going to be fun.
It's fun. It's a blast. Woo-hoo! We're going crazy. So tell us about the show.
Well, For Your Love is premiering this coming Tuesday night.
Really?
Yes. On Channel 4 at 8:30.
Great.
Tucked in comfortably between Mad About You and Frasier.
Perfectly between Mad About You and Frasier.
Exactly. It's actually a romantic comedy about three couples in three different stages of relationships. You have the token married couple, then the honeymooners, the lovey-dovey couple.
Right.
And then you have the commitment phobics.
Right.
And it's basically kind of like a reality-based series with a lot of humor.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And now, who's your character? Tell us a little bit about you.
My character is Sherry, and I play the wife of the married couple.
Okay.
And D.W. Moffat plays...
Right.
Plays my husband.
Great.
And what I really like about the project is that Sherry and Dean, which are our characters' names, they're not stereotypical, the boring married couple that you would predict that they would be.
You're way out, wacky, crazy couple.
They're far more interesting than most married couple
are they?
That I know.
That's good.
I have to say they're actually far more interesting than I am as a married couple.
You're married yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
How long have you been married?
A year.
Nice.
Yes. So there's a lot of me that's like Sherry in the sense that she's been married a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I'm also kind of like the Holly Robinson and James LeJure couple, which is the honeymoon couple.
Oh, Holly's on the show too.
Yeah.
I love her.
She is so fantastic.
She's cute.
Yes.
I like her.
Oh, she's amazing. She had twins, a little boy and a little girl, about, I think, like 3 or 4 months ago. And her body is amazing. The girl
really
snapped back into shape as if she never had...
Like a little rubber band.
Exactly.
Ugh.
She's extremely inspiring.
I'm always like, I do not understand how people do that.
Yep.
But I saw the most beautiful, like the thinnest, most beautiful woman ever. And there she was with like this brand new baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello.
I know. I'm not
Excuse me.
Like that.
You know, I'm going to just stay fat.
I'm just going to blow up.
You know?
Yes.
My God. What about you? Kids in your future?
Oh, not for a while.
How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
No, not at all. I'm 34.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're young yet.
Yeah, well, depending on which clock you're looking at.
According to my clock, you're on the young bus.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think either my clock is broken or I'm just really too, I know to have children you have to be extremely selfless.
Right.
And right now I'm just having such a great time being newly married and working on a series. And I have so many animals.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Tell us about your animals.
I have two dogs.
What kind of dogs?
A Rottweiler and a Boxer.
Oh.
Yes. And two cats.
I love animals, so I'm happy.
You would love my house. Two ring-neck doves.
Ooh.
Yes.
Do they make pretty noises?
They do, actually. It's a beautiful cooing.
Yeah.
And the little girl dove, she likes to laugh.
Oh, really?
Very, very sweet.
Oh, nice.
So she just cracks herself up whenever she finds something funny.
Of course. That's nice. It's nice to be able to laugh at yourself.
Exactly. Then we have the token iguana.
You do?
Yes.
And is he a big one, or is he a little iguana?
He's getting huge every day.
Yeah, they grow.
He's about 2.5 feet now.
Woo!
He's a big boy.
Does he have his own little room or something?
He has his own tank right now, and my husband and I are about to make him a new enclosure that's larger.
Right.
Because he's got a 100-gallon tank right now he's outgrowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
He a good boy? Okay, moving right along. Talk about your good animals.
His nickname is Mr. Personality.
Is it?
Yeah.
So he's just full. He's full of himself, isn't he?
That's right. He's the only iguana. So
right.
He thinks he's just the cat.
He's the badass.
Exactly.
That's great.
But and my husband and I do volunteer work for wildlife emergency response.
What's that?
It's a nonprofit organization that has. It's all funded by volunteers and private donations. For instance, if you were walking down the beach and you saw a stranded seal, you wouldn't know who to call.
Right.
So you would call WEIR, Wildlife Emergency Response, and one of many volunteers, such as myself and my husband, would be called, and we would go pick it up, put it in an enclosure, and drive it to a marine mammal care center where they would rehabilitate it and put it back in the wild.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, give us, is there an 800 number that we can plug here so that people know?
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, I mean, when I see, you know, like birds that are hurt or
exactly
something, you know,
yeah.
You want to help.
This is like, exactly, it's for wildlife, so it's all sea life, like you said, birds, deers. There are federal, you know, laws, and you can't get within a certain range of these wildlife
animals.
So that's what's so wonderful about this is that, you know, these are people who are all not only volunteers, but they're trained.
Right.
They, you know, work with a group of people who, you know, legally know how to take care of these animals and get them to the proper places where they can get the best care. And
that is wonderful. I'll
give you that number.
Great.
Come on, where is it? Oh, okay. It is called WEIR, Wildlife Emergency Response.
Okay.
And, wait a minute. You would call, it's coming.
Have you ever been called to get an animal?
Oh, yes. In 1 week, my husband and I saved 4 seals.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That must feel so good.
Oh, it's the best. Here's the number.
Okay.
It's 310.
Uh-huh.
457.
Uh-huh.
Wild, W-I-L-D.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Malibu, then?
Yeah, it's Malibu. It pretty much it covers a large range of areas.
Great.
All up and down the coast and where have you. And what happens is all these people who do these volunteer work, they know who to get in contact with. For instance, if you were out of that area, for instance, they know who you would call. And that's probably the most important thing is that they can hook you up to who can take care of these animals. And that's the most important thing.
I think it's so great that you do that.
Oh, there's nothing more incredible than to give back to the earth.
Totally. It's the most rewarding thing.
It really is, and especially when you're looking into the eyes of this
person. Oh, I know.
And they don't understand what's going on, and they're looking at you like, okay, you are a blonde freak.
Yeah,
why are you
get away from me. What are you doing to me?
Right. Why do you have me in this box in a car?
Right.
And once they're healed and they're put back into nature, I'm sure somewhere in their soul it all makes sense.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So if you were an actress, would you be a veterinarian?
You know, if the schooling wasn't so hard, I would definitely be a veterinarian. I definitely am very close with my veterinarian in the sense that he, whenever he diagnoses my animals with anything, he's so thorough. He tells me all of the things to look for. So in future situations with my animals, I almost can diagnose some of the things to look for.
Right.
And know the difference between something that could be possibly dangerous and something that's just minor.
That's good. It's really good to know.
Well, yeah, I think that the more educated you can become on your animals or just in life about anything.
Generally, yeah.
It's always just a good idea.
Yeah.
And
so you're going to be a good mom someday.
I'm a very good aunt.
Are you?
7 times.
7 times?
I have 7 nieces and nephews.
Oh, my goodness.
I am.
So you serve her like a mother from afar.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They call me Auntie Mame.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
I watched it one time. I was like, oh, that's very flattering to be called.
Rosalind Russell. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you more. Tell us about acting. What made you choose acting as a career?
Well, to make an extremely long, long, long story.
Oh, come on.
It's a pretty long story.
We like the details. Tell us the details.
Well, let's see. Basically, when I was 18 years old, many moons ago, all the teachers kind of said to you, all the seniors, oh, what are you going to do with your life? You know, are you going to go to college or are you going to get a full-time job? And I didn't really know what I wanted to do at that time.
Right.
So instead of going to college and waste tuition and waste a perfectly good seat that another student could be, you know, taken advantage of and, you know, using it towards something like becoming a doctor or what have you.
Right.
I chose to work full-time until I figured out what I wanted to do. And so I also have had so many different kinds of jobs.
Right.
That I had to say to myself, what is it that I want to dedicate the rest of my life to that's going to mentally stimulate me and not become stagnant or boring?
Right.
And that's one of my problems as to why I switched my jobs so frequently when I was younger. I had so many jobs.
And what kind of jobs were you doing?
Oh, man.
Everything?
You name it. I danced in the Disneyland parade.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I drove. I was a delivery person at a radiator company. I picked up and dropped off radiators.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
A man's job.
Total man's job.
Yeah. I worked in clothes retail. I worked as a cocktail waitress in a mud wrestling place.
Ow!
Oh, yeah. That's where I got my edge.
Right.
And I worked as a food waitress, a cocktail waitress, a clothes retail, a receptionist at a hair salon. I'm going blank.
No, but that's
a ton.
That's a lot.
Fox girl at a grocery store. It goes on and on.
Wow.
So, but what would happen was I'd kind of become bored once I was able to, like, I started all these jobs not knowing how to do them.
Right.
And then I would tackle them. And once I kind of learned how to do it, then my question became, you know, well, what am I going to become? The manager of this store, the head parade captain of that, you know, thing, or...
Right.
I kind of got, well, wait a minute, this is not how I want to grow old.
Right.
So finally, when I was 18, I thought, well, So my sister Michelle was an actress and doing well, but not as well as she's doing now. She wasn't huge.
I didn't know she was your sister.
Yeah, she's huge. It's very funny to have a huge sister who's that huge.
I bet.
Because she's just like anyone else's sister.
Oh, well, that's why there's a question here about that. I'll get to that later. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, I at that time thought, well, hey, I think I'll try this thing called acting. So my sister gave me wonderful advice and said, get into an acting class first. Don't worry about headshots. Don't worry about an agent. Just get into
acting.
Just get
into a class.
Yeah, get into a class and kind of get your feet wet.
Right.
I studied for 2 years before I ventured out to try to get an agent.
Who did you study with?
Peggy Fury.
Oh, I've heard of her.
An amazing.
Definitely heard her name.
She's no longer with us. God bless her soul.
Mm.
And Roy London, who...
Yes.
God bless him. And he's also up with Peggy, playing in heaven, or wherever it is they're playing.
Right.
And quite a few acting coaches, actually. And because I don't really necessarily believe there is one specific way you can approach acting. I think that the more training you can get, the better
you can be.
Because in every situation,
yeah.
So not one technique can actually apply to all different situations.
Right.
And every actor comes into their work differently, so you have to be able to, like, mold and adapt to how everyone works.
Absolutely.
And what happened was, is after 2 years, I started interviewing and getting an agent and all of that, and I was so terrible at it.
Selling yourself?
Oh, man, I would go, I would stutter, I would break in the hives, similar to what I do now, actually, since I'm learning how to deal with it better.
Yeah, cover up those hives with long sleeves.
Exactly. The whole thing I find is... trying to act like you're not nervous.
Right.
That's the talent in acting, really, no. So it was something that really was very difficult, and to this day I find really challenging on a day in and day out basis.
Wow.
So that's I kind of stumbled into it by accident, and it's just stuck like glue on the bottom of my shoe.
Well.
Can't get rid of it.
It's a good thing, I think.
Oh, yeah, and I've tried. I've, like, tried to quit in 16 years of acting, or 15 years, however long it's been. I have tried.
And you just can't leave.
I can't leave because I find it really incredible to move people in one way or another, to get them to laugh or
yes.
cry or to hate or to love or to be frustrated or to be confused. I think that all of the emotions that God gave us are really important, and whenever they can be stimulated, it's important, I think, to growth.
Absolutely.
To just exist, I think, is really dangerous. I think, you know.
Oh, I agree.
So
I agree completely.
You know, entertaining is part of that, to allow people to check out of their day in and day out life.
Right. And just to watch something else for a little bit.
Sure, yeah, to kind of like maybe, because sometimes something on television or a play or a movie or even a commercial or a book, so many different kinds of things can change people's lives.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, that's, for me too, it's like I love when I'm moved by an actor or an actress, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, there's so many people out there who've moved me, and not all of them are entertainers. Some people are actors in their own right, and they've never been on screen ever.
Right.
They're just people who move you and change you in real life.
Right.
And, you know, some of those are able to get to the screen.
Yes.
On a broader scale. Otherwise, the rest of us have one or two of those people in our lives.
Right.
Who affect you.
Hopefully.
Exactly.
Now, tell us about your first acting job.
I played a $10 hooker.
All right.
Yes. A very sleazy, sad little $10 hooker. That was actually an amazing story. I did not have my SAG card. No one is born with a SAG card.
No.
But you got to earn it.
Yes, you do.
And it's unfortunately a catch-22. You have to do a union movie to get a union card. But you can't get into a union interview for a union movie without being in the union.
Right.
So someone's got.
I never understand how that happens.
Someone's got to give you a break.
Right.
Someone's got to give you a break and allow you to read for a movie that's a union. And if you're not in the union, someone's just got to take a chance on you.
Right.
So I had a wonderful agency at the time, and they were able to get me into an interview, and I got a very small role on a movie of the week. And
that's great.
Oh, I was so excited. They called me and they said, "You got the role." I was so excited. This is after having bombed numerous hundreds of times in interviews, just bombing every single one. I finally scored when I got one.
Right.
And they called me. After a while, they must have forgotten and said, "Now you're SAG. You're in the union, right?" And I was like, "No, that was been the problem for the last year." And they're like, "Oh, we'll call you back." Well, they called back and said, "Well, oops, the other girl they like just as well isn't, so they're going to give it to her." It cost the production money to tack Hartley you into the union.
Right.
So I was crushed. I was given a role and then taken away. So Michelle at the time, my sister, was working on Into the Night with John Landis, and went to work that night and told John this terrible story of how, you know, I was brought to such euphoria and then slammed down to the ground. And he said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Tell her to show up on the set Friday night on Hollywood Boulevard in front of Fredericks of Hollywood. Tell her to bring the most sleazy clothes she's got. And I'll give her a couple lines, and we'll get her a SAG card."
Oh.
I was so ecstatic. And then so I got to the set, and he just had to make me up like a $10 hooker and threw me in front of the camera and told me to look at Michelle and say, "You want a party?" And look at Jeff Goldblum and say, "You want a date?" And then they'll react, and then you walk away. And I did that, and he said, "Now, this will probably land on the editing room floor. I'm just giving you a break." And I said, "Sure, sure," because it wasn't scripted.
Right.
So he calls me months later from the editing room and is laughing and saying, "You are such a funny little actress, and I'm keeping your scene in the movie."
Oh.
And I was like, not only did I scored my SAG card, but he left it in the movie.
That is amazing.
I have to say, John Landis, I really have to thank him tremendously for having, you know, given me a shot.
Right.
And so that's how I started. I was as a hooker.
So lucky. And how old were you then?
Oh, my. 20?
Wow.
Where was I living?
Yes. Gated by the apartment you had.
Exactly. what apartment was I living in? Was that West Hollywood? Or
right, right.
Hollywood? Or was I just on Orange Boulevard?
So do you have any advice for any upcoming actors or actresses now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and it's funny because I was given this advice, and whenever I took it, I was so much more happy. Whenever I didn't, it always bit me in the butt.
Mm.
The advice that I was always given was to study your craft and you know, give it all you've got. But it's extremely important to also have a life outside acting.
Right.
It's a way to keep yourself centered, and in a strange way, it sounds you know, backwards, but it will enable you to really focus on your career better if you have something else to kind of like take your attention away from it. Because I think that when you focus on one thing for too much, if you're obsessed with something for too much, you can actually choke the very thing that makes
right,
you precious.
Right.
And I think that, in other words, the old saying, you try too hard. You know?
That's great advice.
Yeah. So I think that when you, first of all, if you're acting at all and you're taking the classes and you're doing everything you can, that's already going to be a lot.
Right.
Because usually almost all actors are very passionate people to begin with.
Right.
So you can kind of trust your passion is there.
Yeah,
you do.
Totally.
You don't need to go overboard.
Yeah.
But, you know, take a sculpting class, get into, like, animals, fun. Because usually actors have a lot of different likes and dislikes.
Of course.
Find organizations to be involved with, whether it's pediatric aid, volunteer work, homeless, build houses. I don't know. I mean, it can be anything. Have a side job. Have a side interest to kind of keep – it does two things. It keeps yourself centered because the industry can be really crazy and it can disillusion you as to what's real.
Right.
And it can also keep your mind and your soul open to the world outside of acting, which is where you're going to get the best characters, where you're going to get the best information on life, which you're going to be able to bring into your scenes. And all the little idiosyncrasies you're going to bring to your characters are going to come from the outside world.
From the world.
That's right. You're not going to get those from interviews. You're not going to get those from, like, Hollywood parties.
No.
You're going to get those from, like, being out.
Real experiences.
Absolutely.
So what do you like to do in your spare time? We know about wildlife emergency response.
Saving animals.
What other hobbies? You know, how do you keep yourself busy when you don't want to get, you know, too focused?
Like today I took about a 2.5-hour mountain bike road, like, ride journey.
Nice.
Mountain biking, yeah. You just, like, find a big hill and take your bike and just go. I love to snowboard.
Oh.
Yeah, I broke my ankle last year.
Did you?
Yeah, I had new bindings, and they didn't work out too well, so I went back to the old-fashioned bindings.
Oh, wow.
But,
ouch.
Yeah, it hurt. I'd never broken a bone before in my life. And it was.
I fractured one once. That was horrible.
It hurts.
Oh, it was horrible.
So this year I'm going to get back up on the mountain. I'm not going to let it get me down.
Good. Yeah, you can't.
Absolutely.
You can't. Got to push through that.
Absolutely. I'm like right now, I quit smoking about 6 months ago.
Good for you.
Yeah, so since then I've just been like this exercise fanatic freak.
That's usually like not how it works, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
I like, as much as I was smoking, I'm now like exercising. Like,
that's insane.
It is.
Can you throw some of that vibe over my way?
Yeah.
I quit 2 years ago and I still haven't lost the weight I gained.
Oh.
Quitting.
Well, being an actor, I mean, you have to be vain.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's like in real life, if you were to gain 10 pounds, you have your family and friends to deal with, right?
Right.
If you're an actor and you gain 10 pounds, they like to say something nasty about you on one of these tabloids, and the whole world now knows.
Right.
You gain 10 pounds.
It's true. It's totally true.
So, I mean, it's kind of like embarrassing. Actors are just as embarrassed as the average schmo.
Of course.
You know, we just get publicly humiliated.
Right. Instead of just like singly humiliated.
Exactly. Or just having your boyfriend say, hey, honey.
Right.
Your tush is looking a little wide.
A little wide
you
today,
have
baby.
The whole world saying, wow, Pfeiffer's butt's getting big. You know?
Right. Right.
And then you read that and you go, oh, that wasn't very nice.
God, what's that like for you to be... you know, in the public eye.
It's, I find it really flattering. When people recognize me or when people want my autograph or they send a really sweet letter, I find it so flattering. I constantly find it flattering. And after 16 years of acting, I still find it really amazing that there are people who will stop and out of their days and write someone who they don't know a letter saying that I appreciate your work or that, you know, I liked your scene and you're funny or, you know, anything. Or even like sometimes write you a little mean letter.
Right.
Not that I don't like you. I mean, that doesn't surprise me, I guess.
Right.
Because everyone has to get through their therapy in hours.
Yeah, in some way.
In some way.
Right.
But I think that's always really amazing that there are people who do that.
Yeah.
And so.
It's incredible.
It is.
There's like seriously loyal fans out there.
Well, and actors can't survive without their fans. And I think a lot of actors forget that.
True.
I mean, I've never forgotten that.
That's good.
Paparazzi, I always smile at them and wave, and I always joke with them. I don't find them at all like to be annoying. I find them to be there doing their jobs. With me, anyways. I can't talk for any other people, you know.
Right.
I've only, they, all they've ever done is, at the worst, all they've done is snap an unflattering picture and print it, okay?
Right.
But, you know, to me, that's like, okay, on a healthy day, I will laugh at it. If I'm having a fat day, I'm like, oh, you know, that wasn't very nice.
Right.
But it's all part of the game. It's all part of what, you know, what we do.
It is. And I just want to say for those of you who are just joining us now, we are chatting here with Dee Dee Pfeiffer, who's the star of NBC's new romantic comedy, For Your Love. And there's another question. This person probably wasn't around when we said Shinoni wants to know what time and channel says For Your Love. Come on.
Okay, Shinoni. That's a great name.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. My real name is Dorothy Diane.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Dorothy Diane.
That's where Dee Dee comes
from. Dee
Dee.
Yeah. Cute. I like it. It's official. You can be Dee Dee.
Not as pretty as Shinoni.
It's not, but, you know,
okay, well,
some of us aren't as blessed.
But yes. Let's see. We are premiering this Tuesday night, Channel 4, 8:30, right after Mad About You and right before Frasier.
Great.
So you got to tune in and check us out.
Oh, God. We definitely will.
Now, the first episode is funny, but I have to say, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but the episodes afterwards only get more funny.
Do they?
Because I think all the actors...
Well, you know, you get a camaraderie going, and there's that, you know?
Yes.
And it just builds.
Exactly.
I mean, you watch any first episodes of anything, and you're like, wow, they have grown so much.
Exactly.
And the characters develop more. Everything.
Yeah, my hair...
Your hair gets cuter.
Right, right, yeah.
You're
yeah,
like, in the first episode, they really, I don't know, who did my hair?
Oh, I know. I look at the talent going, oh, that was really a bad
you're
idea.
Like, great, thanks. Whose idea was that? And what the hell am I wearing?
Exactly. I mean, I looked in the mirror, I thought it was a cute idea.
Right.
I saw it on the pilot and went, oh.
You're like,
bad idea.
Bad move.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know if this is the case, but Gimmel here wants to know how busy you get being on two sitcoms at once and how you manage your time between the two and have a life on the side.
Well, actually, I'm no longer on Sybil.
You are not on Sybil. That's
yeah.
Right. I didn't think that you were.
Yeah, I'm no longer. I did Sybil for 3 years.
Right.
I had an incredible time. It was time for Rachel to kind of like move to Boston.
Right.
And I think Rachel went as far as she could. And I was able to leave the series and start to read for other television series. And For Your Love was the one of the few that I read for, but it was the only one I was able to get to the network. And read my little butt off and got it.
Great. Good for you.
Yeah, so they were actually two different things. A lot of people thought that I left Sybil to go to this show.
Right.
And actually, they were completely two different gigs, completely different gigs.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You didn't have to give something up, you know.
Yeah.
Time came along and you took another opportunity.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah.
Very lucky.
I have to say, I really do feel extremely lucky because in this industry that I'm in, I think that the employment rate is like 10%.
Right.
So in an industry where the unemployment is like 90% or something like that, to be one of the few that works, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate every job I get for that very reason.
Good. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
There's a guy here that says, I loved you on Sybil, and was it fun to work on the show?
Yes. Oh, thank you, first of all. Thank you for loving me on Sybil. I had a great time. There was a lot of playing around. Alicia Witt, who plays Zoe, she and I to this day are like sisters.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
She and I we played a lot of backgammon. We did a lot of gidging. That's our little term for sitting around, like, you know, gossiping and
right.
Talk about who's cute and, you know, and stuff. Alan Rosenberg, Christine, everybody. It was just, we were definitely like a family.
That's so nice.
And the crew just were an amazing group of people. It was a really great job. It was a great job. Rachel was really fun to play because she was so, like, how would you say, miserably funny,
right,
in her marriage.
Right.
Unlike Sherry and Dean, who I'm playing now in For Your Love, they're very happily married.
That's good.
Rachel and Kevin were always fighting and always bickering.
Right.
So it's really fun for me to be able to, like, have the ability to
play something different.
Yeah. It's not like another, you know, miserable couple. This one's completely different. Actually, Sherry's constantly trying to sauce up her marriage with Dean. So you can imagine the stuff she's, you know, taking naked polaroids of herself.
Wrapping herself in saran wrap.
Exactly. He gives his lunch away to a homeless person. And, you know, there's like she's always getting into trouble in a really fun way.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I'm pretty much naked and like... Almost all these episodes, I'm Sherry, my character's naked. I was like in pasties in front of the crew for the first like 3 weeks.
Wow, that's fun. You gotta have a lot of nerve to do that.
Oh yeah, if I didn't feel like I knew him when I first got to work, by the end of the day, it was like I felt like I knew him for 100 years.
Yeah, totally, you know, definitely.
Once you show someone your pasties,
you're bonded for life.
No humility left. You're just there.
This guy, shy guy, wants to know, he says, hi, how do you feel when you make a show? Do you get nervous?
Hi, shy.
Hi, shy.
Speaking of shy, yes. Every show I've ever done, I get huge butterflies. I get anxiety that I'm going to go up on my lines.
Right.
And that there's always the chronic fear that the audience is not going to respond or like you.
Of course.
So I have that every show. I don't know if any actor gets over it completely. I think they learn to live with it better.
Right, right.
I have found a way to channel it into my acting, the anxiety that I get and the nervousness I get.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a wonderful coach who told me, instead of working so hard to get rid of it, which is impossible, the best thing you can do is to learn to use it.
Right.
That way.
Use that energy.
Yeah. So I'm able to use that nervousness in my character and give her, like, even a little bit more energy than, say, I naturally have.
Right.
And then you're not wasting that energy or trying to get rid of something that you're not going to get rid of.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's unheard of to get rid of nervousness.
No, yeah, completely.
I mean, if there was a pill that did it, we'd all take it.
Definitely we'd take it.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you on the set?
Oh, my.
Being in your pasties is pretty embarrassing to me, but I don't know.
Okay. Actually, okay. Okay.
She's got a good one.
I got a really good one. Okay. In one of the episodes in For Your Love, now, hopefully this will get everyone to tune in, but since it's TV, you probably won't be able to see it. Okay. Picture the stage if you're in the audience looking down onto the stage.
Okay.
And there was a queen-size bed, and Sherry and Dean were getting into bed. Now, I'm on the, if you're looking at the bed, I'm on the left side.
Okay.
So on the left side of the room, there's a window, and they had another camera shooting into the side of the window so that when I turned away from Dean, the camera was shooting at me.
Right.
Now, he and I were having a little argument about his Playboy collection that he had in his garage that I didn't know he's had for like 15 years.
Right.
It's a very funny episode. And my character's pouting a little bit because she doesn't understand why he has
why does he need that?
Well, exactly. And she says, well, I don't understand why you need that. Right. Right. Well, I had a little like a nightie on and...
Oh, no.
I took the covers up and over me and then turned away from him into the camera that's pointing at me through the window, and the sheets grabbed my nightie and pulled, and like, so when I turned, my nightie stayed forward.
Oh.
So as I turned, and Don, D.W. Moffat, had his body on top of the covers. So when I turned, I had no covers to cover me from the side.
Oh.
And all I knew was my breast was just pointing.
Hanging out
to the camera. Now, I have a little bit of jewelry, we'll just say, in that area. So I, like, immediately, it was a live audience. Now, I know from my training never to break character.
Right.
But I am freaking out.
Oh, God, I would totally, too.
My family doesn't even know about my jewelry.
Right.
So I'm like...
Well, my family knows about mine. So.
Yeah, my family probably will now know.
Now they'll know. They'll be like, what is that silver thing?
My family's with computers will now know.
Right.
So I turned, and I was like, ooh, and I grabbed my arms and put it over my breast, and luckily I'm not that blessed.
Right.
So it didn't, my arm was able to cover.
So you weren't like spooging out from
thank
the,
you, thank
you could
you.
Just cover it up with a little arm action.
Exactly.
Good, oh God, I would, that would have just killed me.
Oh, yeah, and luckily the scene ended shortly after that.
Good.
And
they weren't sitting there exposed the whole time.
Oh, man, well, and the audience was hooting, howling, and clapping and all, you know, and I, of course, thought it was because of that, and so I ran up to the director.
Right.
Afterwards, and I'm like, why is your face burgundy? And I told him, he said, no, we didn't see anything. I said, oh, God. Thank God.
Thank God. It's so funny of our perception of, you know,
yeah.
what other people see and then what they're really like laughing at something entirely different. And they're hooting and hollering because it's a great scene.
Right.
You know, and you're like self-conscious. Oh, my God, they're laughing at my boob.
I was going to run back to my room and cry because I was
right.
so embarrassed.
Totally.
I was like, oh, my. Because, I mean, you know.
That's hilarious. I love that story.
Yeah, but so I guess I covered myself quick enough no one ever saw it.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Vorlon 34, this is very sweet. Just want to say that I think you're great, beautiful, and charming. Love your work. Don't stop.
Oh, thank you.
We love that. Nice.
That's
nice
sweet.
Stuff. Yeah. So, okay, we'll get a little personal. Where were you born? Talking about personal stuff.
Okay, I was born in Orange County.
Orange County.
Southern California.
Wow.
In Garden Grove.
In Garden Grove.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I don't really know. Near Anaheim, which would be Disneyland.
I was going to say Disneyland.
There you go. Yeah.
I know where that is.
Yes. When I say Disneyland, then people know.
People get it.
Yeah, just kind of like out there.
And you live in L.A. now?
Mm-hmm, now I live in Los Angeles with my many animals and my husband.
And your husband.
Yeah.
And what does your husband do?
My husband's a computer consultant.
Oh.
Yes.
So he's definitely online now. Is he?
Actually, we're waiting for a second phone line, so I'm on the only existing phone line.
You're it.
And he's so bummed because he would be, you know.
Right. He'd be sending in questions.
Oh, sure.
And you wouldn't even know it was him.
Exactly.
Wow. He'd
really try to embarrass me. Yeah, he's a computer consultant for Apple Macintosh Computers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, his name is, yeah. And he
does. His name is, yeah.
I know. I thought maybe I
like his name is this and his number and call him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
Okay, Shy Guy says your show rocks. We love that.
Oh, great. Too.
Nice. What's your favorite role that you've been in? What's your favorite role so far?
You know, actually, I have to say my favorite role so far is the role I'm playing right now.
Really?
Sherry is, she's so, like, inspirational when it comes to if there's ever been a man or woman out there and that has ever thought about getting married, is dating, one day wants to get married, or one day is afraid of getting married. I think that she's inspirational to all of those people, men and women, because I see her on a weekend and weekly basis trying really hard to keep her relationship interesting. And she's got a lot of energy and passion about it. And she not only loves her husband, she likes him.
Right.
And that's such an interesting quality because, like, I love my husband, but I like him as a person. I would hang out with him if I wasn't in love with him.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people can say that about their significant others.
No.
And I brought that to Sherry, and D.W. Moffat, like, caught on to that right away when we first read together. And he jumped on that, and we both kind of, like, brought this admiration for that Dean has for Sherry and vice versa.
And did you get that from your own marriage?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so nice.
I admire that he is so smart and that he can take a computer apart and put it back together.
Right.
That he can sit there and just go figure out software like I could tie my shoes.
Right.
And my industry is so foreign to him. He looks at it in awe and goes, wow, look at her up there. And she's like able to get people to laugh.
Right.
You know, or hit an emotion that's really, really like dangerously vulnerable.
Right.
And we just kind of do such different things. We kind of look over and go, wow, he did something. We each do something to the other.
You complement each other.
Yeah, like the yin and the yang.
Exactly. That's nice.
And I think that when I play, the writers are so smart, and this is a very realistic relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I think that Sherry and Dean they rag on each other just like a married couple would, but not in a way that at
not
all
demeaning.
Totally, they don't demean each other, but there is that familiarity that comes across where they're like, yeah, honey, that was a smart choice.
Right.
You know, there is that. But there's also this whole other dynamic which is stronger, which is this drive to keep the relationship interesting. And because I think that individually they try to keep themselves interesting,
Right.
It's the relationship interesting, and I think that everyone can benefit from that because no one will be alone their whole life. Everyone in their life will eventually hook up with somebody.
True. Our typist doesn't think so. She's got little bitter feelings about this man that she's been seeing. Who's quite a schmuck.
Well, if he's a schmuck, you know, my advice is... I said, bye-bye, Bucci.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Because, you know, if...
Bye-bye.
If you've got somebody who's just not, you know, not cutting it and they're not giving you what you need, then you just kind of have to, you know...
Clip them.
You got to find someone who does because, you know, that means that person is just on a different path.
Right.
Because if she, you know, because I've been on a different path, I've dated a lot of guys who just didn't get me, and I didn't get them.
And you try.
You try.
And you keep trying.
And God bless them. Some of them I'm still friends with, and a lot of them I'm not, and that's okay, too.
Right.
And I'm sure they went out and found, hopefully they learned the lessons that they needed to, and I learned the lessons that I needed to. And I, you know, if I can get married, you know what I say? Anyone can get married.
I know, huh?
I'm telling you. Because
I'm getting married.
You are?
Yeah.
Good girl.
Yeah.
You got to make that leap.
I'm very excited.
See, that's cool. You gotta take a chance.
I have the best boyfriend in the whole wide world.
Wow. Well,
fiance, whatever.
Exactly.
I can't. I'm so bad with that fiance. I'm not French. What? You know?
Yeah.
Fiance. I don't like that word.
Yeah.
So now, the show is a multicultural show, is it not?
Yes, it is.
How do you feel about working on a show? Like, I think it's wonderful, personally.
I think it's hot. And
I think it's
about time.
Needed. Much needed.
Yes. I think there's four of us that are African-American, two of us that are white. And
that's great.
I think it's so hot and so great and so refreshing. And what I really like about the series is that it's an extremely organic relationship all of these people have.
Right.
The series is not about that. It has nothing to do with that.
Right, which is exactly what is needed.
Exactly, because it shouldn't be about that.
No.
It's about six people.
It's about friends.
Exactly.
Neighbors.
Thank you. That's exactly, we're friends, we're neighbors, we're all people that are all trying to, like, get it. We're all trying
just
to, like...
live your life.
Yeah. And we're all trying to, like, deal with problems that come across, you know, your life and stuff.
Right. I think it's so needed, and you're totally in the forefront of this whole new territory that is uncharted, and here you go. And I'm so proud of you. So, hoorah for me.
Thank you.
Has there ever been a role, Joni wants to know... there's ever been a role that you've turned down that you later regretted, or a role that you took that you later regretted?
Joni. let's see. I can't say that there's been a role that I turned down that I regretted. I think that, nor do I feel that there's, okay, there have been some roles that I've taken that I've had a really hard time on the making of the film or the making of the project.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't regret them because in the broader picture, it all makes sense why I took it or why I didn't.
Right.
And that other things were supposed to have happened instead.
Totally.
And I've kind of lived my life like that everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
Even if things are really, like, atrociously bad,
yes.
It doesn't make sense to a lot of us. And I certainly had some really wonderful things happen in my life and some really horrid, horrid things happen.
Right.
And yet you kind of have to take the good and the bad together.
Yeah.
Because it's all part of it. So there's been some really tough projects, but I can't say I regret them, no. And I
good.
And I certainly think that... I'm not, like, the only one that this stuff happens to.
Right.
The only control I have over those decisions, if they were right or wrong, is how I feel about them afterwards.
Right.
That's the only decision I have.
Totally.
And I decide to say, hey, that happened for a reason, and next time, hopefully, I'll be smarter.
Yep.
And if not, well, then I'll just get hit in the butt again.
Then you'll do it again until you learn.
Exactly.
Right.
Just do it again until I learn.
Right.
Absolutely.
What would you say has been the most challenging role for you that you've taken on?
The most challenging role that I've taken on is the role in a movie I just completed a few months ago called The Sky is Falling. It's an independent feature in which I star in, co-starring a beautiful little dog.
Oh.
Yeah, and I see Terry Garr and quite a few people.
Terry Garr?
Yeah, she plays my mom in it. And it's just a wonderful script, but I think it's by far my most challenging because I had to deal with a lot of issues that were very close to me in my real life in the movie.
Right.
And it's an independent film. I hope it comes out and does really well.
When is that? When do we expect to see it?
That's a good question.
Is it?
I have
an independent film. She says again.
It's an independent film, and they're just finishing the editing and scoring right now.
Great.
So I haven't even seen it yet, but the making of that film, whether or not that film is ever seen by anybody, will to date be the hardest role I have done emotionally, because I had to go to places that are really scary to go to.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons why I really wanted to do the movie, and I read for it, and I read for it, and I read for it. It was just a small independent, and I fell in love with the story because I knew that doing it would be conquering a huge fear for me.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And it was able to jumpstart me to start the series, which was by far completely the opposite. It was this comedy.
Right.
You know, where the film is this drama piece that enabled me to kind of go to the darker places in myself to then go to the wackiest side, which is what I'm doing now.
Right, which has got to be the best.
Yeah.
It's got to be really fun.
It's kind of like when you reap the benefits of working out really, really hard when it's painful.
Right.
Afterwards,
how good you feel afterwards.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So do you actually prefer working in television or film, and why? This is from guest number 315.
Guest number 315, that's a great question. I really love TV, and I love features both. When I was younger, TV used to scare me because I would audition for television, and I didn't ever really do well in my auditions for television scripts, so I didn't do a lot of television as much as I did features.
Right.
So my passion when I was younger was features only because I was so scared of TV. But the older I got, the more I realized that you know, it was crippling me. So I had to, like, go ahead, you know, just say, okay, this scares the hell out of me, so I then, for that reason, have to do this. So I made myself work harder on my television interviews, which then came, I got more television jobs.
Right.
So now I have to honestly say, now having eliminated my television fear, I love them both equally.
That's good.
There was a time where, you know, I would have preferred TV only because, I preferred films, excuse me, because TV scared me so much.
Right.
Because it's such a fast pace.
It's very fast pace.
Very fast, and if you're not on, and you don't know what you're doing, like, quickly and fast, you will come off looking really bad.
Like it.
Yeah. Yes, you don't get the luxury that you have in film to do things over and over and over and over again.
Right. Would you prefer doing a comedy or a drama? This is from Uniblonder. Uniblonder.
Uniblonder?
Yes.
Now that's interesting. well, Uniblonder. I prefer whichever one comes to pay the rent.
I like that. I like that answer.
You know?
That's a good answer.
If they want to give me comedy, I'll take it. If they want to give me drama, I'll take that.
Right. Anything you throw my way, I love it.
Absolutely. absolutely.
Dee Dee High from Puerto Rico.
Ah.
This is from BME. And
hi, Puerto Rico.
Doc Bad. I just want to say hi and say I love you on TV.
Thank you.
He loves you on TV.
That's so sweet. Thank
you.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? People like you.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I know this is not, all these people are not my husband.
No, they're not, because he can't log on.
That's right.
So you know that people really do like you.
That's right. Well, thank you. That is so sweet. I really appreciate that.
It's nice to hear that, isn't it?
You know it is. It really is. It is.
Yeah. So if you could work with anyone at all, who would you choose to work with?
Ah, okay. I'm not above this. I would want to work with Brad Pitt. There, I said it.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Only a love scene, though.
Oh, I know. Try to explain that to my husband.
Right, you're like, honey, I have to do is this sex scene, and it's really important to my career.
exactly. I would love to work with Brad Pitt. I would absolutely give my left arm to work with Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I think he rocks.
He's great.
Oh, I just love him. I would love to work with Will Smith.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just think he's adorable.
Totally.
I would love to work with, the list goes on and on and on. I'd love to work with I was watching the other day. Oh, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, well, he was on the show.
He was.
Him and his brother, Michael.
Oh, man. Well, tell him I want to work with them.
I will. Next time they're on, I'll say, Dee Dee told me to tell you. Give her a call. She's ready to work with you.
That's right. I'm ready.
This is really nice, too. This is from Little Flower.
Oh.
Says, Dee Dee, I have to say that I respect your life philosophies. Very inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, and I love that their names are
Little Flower. It's not completely spelled out, but I figured it out.
Yeah. That's really
I'm
sweet.
Smart like that.
Yeah.
And this one I'm not, this is from KCM1. What were your goals in life when you were growing up?
My goals in life growing up were to somehow I was going to blink my eyes and get a lot of money and get a really, really large piece of land and go around the world and get all the animals out of the pound and off the streets and in bad homes and put them all on this land and feed them and take care of them medically and let them all live.
Me too.
A good life.
And so did Michelle, our typist.
Yeah.
And I, but I also wanted to have a huge library.
Really? Do you like to read?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I wanted to have a dictionary to translate any language possible so I would know how to say things in a million languages.
Wow.
So I could really express myself.
Boy, see, that is really, really cool. I think that people who are bilingual are amazing.
I know, me too, and I'm not bilingual.
Oh.
At all. But I wish I was.
I met someone the other day who's like quadrilingual or whatever it is.
Right.
And they're like,
quadrilingual.
Oh. Yeah. I can't even say it. I'm so uneducated.
Yeah.
Oh, and that to me is, that inspires me. That makes me want to go back to school.
Totally.
And like,
you know what's funny is that in other countries, I mean, I don't know if it's funny, but, you know, in Europe, it's like required. You have to know two or three languages.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They're taught all these languages. And here it's like, you know, yeah, maybe you have to take Spanish, like 2 years of Spanish in high school, but it's not the same thing.
And it wasn't even mandatory when I went.
Right. See?
See, that which is a tragedy because I would love to have had they made me take it.
Right.
Because then I would have yelled and screamed and gotten really and tried to ditch the class.
But
I would have
gotten something.
I would have just been in the classes, although I wouldn't have wanted to. I would have then now been bilingual, and it would have been so helpful in my day in and day out life. And there's some
totally
people I run into who speak Spanish.
Totally. It's embarrassing. I went to Mexico with my fiance like a year and a half ago. We were just boyfriend and girlfriend then. And everyone's like, hey, where are you from? And we're like, Los Angeles. And they're like, hey, you don't speak Spanish, you
right.
know?
Habla
we're like,
you.
No.
Yeah.
Our producer's going, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Oh, my God, I love that commercial.
Me too.
Oh, I love
Chihuahua.
I laugh so hard.
I know. God. Every time I see that, I come running in. I'm so excited.
Me too. I run into the room to my husband. I go, yo quiero Taco Bell.
I know, I did that.
And do you raise your eyebrows up and down like a dog?
Yes.
I do too. I love that.
And
dog.
I'm sort of like, honey, we need a Chihuahua.
I know.
And he's
that's
like, no.
I know. I'm like, honey, it's like really teeny.
It's so small. And he's like, exactly.
It won't take that much room.
Right.
Yeah. He's like we need another animal.
I know.
We're picking up deer off the side of the road. We're taking homeless dogs that are running around. We find homes for them.
And you want a Chihuahua?
I want a Chihuahua, all because that darn Taco Bell commercial.
Right, I know. Well, Dee Dee, we are out of time.
All right.
But just want to let everyone know that Dee Dee Pfeiffer is starring in NBC's new romantic comedy, For Your Love, which is airing next Tuesday between Mad About You and Frasier. So it's 8:30. And please be sure to watch and check your local listings because it might, you know, if you're in a small town, I don't know what you have there. And let's see. Dee Dee, do you have anything else to tell your fans?
I want to just say thank you so much for making this really, really enjoyable for me. And I really, really appreciate, you know, everyone who who like logged on tonight, and everyone look for the show.
We certainly will.
And if you're in town, come watch the show. We'd love to have the live audiences are always really great.
That's got to be so invigorating and just give so much more life to.
Oh, it's
filming.
Best. So I invite everybody. Tell everyone that I invited them, and they can come on down.
Okay. Didi, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was great to have you on our show.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And thanks to all of you folks for joining us from Excite. And to all of you here on RealHollywood.com. Please join us again tomorrow night at 7 when our guest will be Scott Bairstow from the new show Significant Others. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
That was great.